Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
All right, stay tuned. We got an action-packed program here with attorney Penny Dean for Second Amendment Tuesdays, 1-866-823-1077. We're going to talk about right to carry.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
That's Steve Voss with Come and Take It. You can find that at stevevoss.com, V-A-U-S. Penny Dean, how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
Whee! Has it been a busy week for the legislature? You know, the little dueling bills about the right to carry and so forth. Oh my goodness. And of course, people, you know, still wondering, what's the process about getting the pistol license, which is probably one of the most frequently asked questions.
That's exactly right. That is exactly the most. And here's what I tell people. The best way to start doing this, okay, is to go to the website. New Hampshire State Police have a website, okay, and I tell people all the time to go to that website, okay, and the bottom line is when you go to the website, they have a pistol/revolver license that you can download, okay, and print from there. And I say use that form because we've had many, many, many chiefs of police in this state become very, very, very creative. And in their creativity, okay, they take that little form and they add or subtract whatever you want. Like, for example, the part that says Social Security number optional, which I think you should option out of.
Agreed.
Okay. Well, guess what? They take that little optional right off. So a person thinks that they have to give their Social Security number.
How nice.
Yeah. The other thing they do is they add little things like telephone numbers for the references, which they do not have to give.
Okay.
They add other questions. They just do. I've seen a lot of creative things, and I've had people call me up and say, you know, this question on the license to carry application, how should I answer it? And I went, that question isn't on there. And they go, oh, yeah, it is. And I've had to pull up an actual copy of a license to carry and go through it with them and go, oh, my God, what someone did is took a word processor, scanned it in, and just added a little question here or there of their own. And so I always tell people if you use the one from the New Hampshire State Police website, then you get the official form that's mandated by law to be used by the chiefs. Use that form and send it in. I always tell people always, always, always keep a copy. Make a photocopy for yourself, and always, always, always send a certified return receipt requested.
Okay.
And the reason behind that is people go, oh, that's a pain. I got to go to the mailbox, you know, the post office, and actually do it there and spend $5. And I'm like, yep, got to do all those things. But it saves what I call a he said, where the secretary says you received it on the 4th, and you say you mailed it on the 28th of the month before, and all these things, because then you have something from the postal service that says, look, it was signed for and delivered on that day. And the reason that matters is to start your 14 days counting, because I tell people that's when the clock ticks. When they receive it, the 14 days start going. Okay, and when those 14 days
start, are we talking about 14 calendar days or business days?
14 calendar days.
Okay.
14 calendar days from the date of receipt. And the way most courts do things is they don't count the date of receipt. So let's say they received it on January 1st, 2011. Most courts are going to start counting on January 2nd, 2011. It's just kind of a system that everybody has used for years. So you'd start counting your calendar days, let's say on January 2nd. And you go January 3rd, January 4th, until you get to your 14 days. And at the 14th day, the chief of police either has to grant or deny your license.
Okay.
And if he denies it, it has to be in writing with the reason why. And I had a case years ago, it was up in Grafton. The chief of police, after numerous requests, and this is 3 months later, because the client didn't hire me till 3 months later, I threw a fit, to the chief, and I said, hey, this guy applied for a license 3 months ago. What's the answer? What's the answer here, right? And because I wanted to at least get something written to go to court with, right?
Right.
Because it's obvious they were going to deny him because you wouldn't wait 3 months if you're going to give someone a license, right?
Mm-hmm.
So asked your pistol permit, which is not a permit application, it will be denied. That's what he wrote. And so I went to the court and I said, how can I argue against this? Can we have a reason here? So the chief wrote another letter, said, it's denied because you're not a suitable person. I said, that's not any more helpful than the first letter. I want to know specifically why it was denied. And the chief, that particular town, ended up writing me about a $4,000 check because the court said, you haven't complied with the law. How in the world can she fight against this denial if she doesn't know why you're denied? Well, I told her he's not suitable. I said, well, that's not helpful. You know, there has to be an alleged reason why this person is not suitable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so chiefs of police, literally, if they deny, they have to give a written reason on a piece of paper that you slapped your mother on June 4th, 1944, and that was assault, or, you know, some specific concrete reason why they claim you're not eligible, because then you can take that denial and go to court and have a judge decide, was this denial correct or not? You know, was this in compliant with the law? But the only way that can happen is if you have something in paper with a concrete reason. Because it's kind of like when your mom tells you just because, that's not helpful. Just because I'm the mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, how in the world can that answer that darn question? And so the bottom line is they have to do that. Now, here's what's more important. We have what I call the good chiefs and the bad chiefs out there. A lot of chiefs used to send out letters, and they used to say, you know, to your three references. Let's say you had person one, person two, person three. They send out this letter that said, I'm Joe Blow, I'm the chief of police in town A, and Bulldog's applied for a license to carry. Fill out this questionnaire about Bulldog. And they have this whole questionnaire, has Bulldog ever been arrested? Has he, you know, is he a drug dealer? Is he this? Is he that? And they would tell people that we're not going to issue your license to carry till those three questionnaires are returned. Well, the law doesn't say anything about that. Matter of fact, the law doesn't say anybody has to answer questions or has to answer a questionnaire. You have to put down the names of three references. You don't have to put their phone numbers, their emails, or their mother's name. You got to put the names and addresses. And they have to be three real people, obviously. You can't put Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and, you know,
right,
things like
right.
that. They have to be three real people. But there's nothing beyond that that says these people in any way have to participate or have to have interaction or fill out any forms or questionnaires. And so I tell people, if anybody has their chief of police send out these forms or questionnaires, please be willing to send them to me or share them with us, because the only way, there are some chiefs who are doing it because they're mean and malicious, and there's some that are doing it out of ignorance of the law. And we've had what I call the good chiefs, where we call them up, because that's what we do first. We call them up and say, hey, chief, here's the law, and here's what you're doing. This is not within, you know, compliance with the law. And the good chiefs go, oh, I didn't know it. I'll quit doing it. And that's what I call the great impact. The bad ones say, jump in the river. And the other thing to be aware of, when you go in to get your license to carry, and we've talked about this before, but I think it's good to remind people, is that a lot of groups, particularly in the education and information of firearm owners' rights things, worked for years to get RSA 159-6 Roman numeral 2 passed that says no fingerprints or photographs shall be required.
Correct.
And the bad chiefs are still getting around that by when you come in, say, oh, can we have your driver's license? And people hand over their driver's license like I've never seen. Someone asked me for my driver's license. My first question is, why do you need it?
Uh-huh.
You know, well, why do you need my driver's license? So they go, oh, to make sure who you are. Well, it's reasonable for them to physically examine your license, to look at it and compare your face to the name and the thing to make sure that, you know, if it says you're an 80-year-old lady, that you're not a 6-foot-tall man.
Yeah.
You know, all those things are reasonable. It is not reasonable or in compliance with the law for them to take it back and put it on their high-speed digital color copier. They now have a photograph.
Yes.
In violation of the law. So
I've heard of that happening before.
Absolutely, because what it is people got smart and said, hey, the law says that you can't take my fingerprint or photograph, and the chiefs go, okay, just give me your driver's license so I can make sure it's you, and the person goes, okay, And I'm like, what the heck just happened here? You got snookered. Okay.
Can I go back on a point that you made earlier about if they deny you, they have to state a reason why? I have the new from the Department of Safety's website, the license application, and there's a page 2 to it which states very clearly the process about issuing a license, who needs it, what's going to be used, and the like. I love this one line here. It says, applicants not prohibited under federal or New Hampshire law from possession of a firearm shall be deemed suitable persons, and the license shall be issued unless the applicant is so prohibited from possessing a firearm.
Oh, my God.
That's as clear as can be, and that is directly from the Department of Safety's website. And That is page 2, which has nothing for you to fill out. It states what the process is, and you've said it before, Penny. You know, at least they're very clear on the Department of Safety's website about the licensing process. And I'm going to link to this on my Second Amendment Tuesdays page tonight at BrianTilton.com as well.
Oh my God! Thank you. That's a good thing. Now let me tell you another thing, and it's totally off subject, but it just came in, and you know, people.
Before you get to that, one more point to make about police chiefs, using their own forms and trying to be a little troublesome, you know, whether it's intentionally or accidental because they're a little ignorant. I still see one town where the police chief is making you bring in reference letters before they will even accept the license application.
Wait, are you serious?
We've talked about this before. It's been a while, but this is...
They were making you bring in the reference... I don't remember the reference letters before, though. Maybe I've got Alzheimer's.
This is from the Town of Sunapee's website.
Oh, yes. I apologize.
You go to their website,
yep.
and they have a link to the Department of Safety's page where you download your license application.
Yep.
And then right underneath it is an asterisk that says reference letter for pistol revolver license. And here's the instructions at the top of that reference letter thing. Send this letter to each of the references listed on your application. Once completed and returned to you, send or deliver your completed application with the 3 reference letters to the Sunapee Police Department.
That's exactly right.
That is what the town of Sunapee is doing, and my question to you is, can they do that?
Nope, sure can't.
Okay.
Sure can't, and what we need is someone from the town of Sunapee to challenge that. So if someone from the town of Sunapee were willing to challenge it, I could tell them what to do. So that doesn't happen again.
All right. And that your phone number for that, for anybody who might be listening?
603-230-9999.
Okay. And we always repeat your phone number at the end of the program anyway. Well, Penny, before we get to our timeout, what was the thing that you got off topic?
Oh, let me tell you what. And this happened. I just got a text from someone who is sitting in a restaurant with 2, at this point, unnamed state officials. Maybe I'll name them later. And they said, remember, in the future, we all got to be using our private email for all this stuff when we're at work because the public email is subject to right to know.
Uh-huh. Here we go again.
Yeah. And these are one very, very high-ranking official.
Hmm.
And they're reminding each other, make sure you're using private email. Now, do we have a problem with that? Do I as a citizen and a taxpayer have a problem with that?
Big time. And in fact, today's Union Leader editorial talks about a House bill that's going to be voted on today that would keep the public off of any of the study committees that are set up by the legislature.
Oh, my God.
Yep, that would be House Bill 190. So, that's something I want to, I don't know if I'll be able to have time to share it, but I want to draw people to either pick up the Union Leader or visit unionleader.com and scroll down to their editorial section, and you'll find their scathing screed about the House Bill 190. So, Penny, with that, let's take our time out. We'll come back. We'll talk about what is happening in the New Hampshire legislature with the competing right to carry bill, shall we?
We should. I thought we were talking about the other stuff. I think we should make that an entire segment, but we can talk about it.
All right, we'll chat with you off the air too to find out what else we can squeeze in. Okay. All right, Penny Dean continues Second Amendment Tuesdays on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages. Live on the Pulse.